Yeah. Hi, my name is Sebastian. This is Christoph, and we'll be presenting our little package together. Since we are the only ones working on it, so it's pretty cool that we're here. Let's get started. We start with a little motivation. What did we come up with? Well, we know that images can be large. In what sense? Well, we have a 20 megapixel image, and that doesn't seem large to nowadays standards. But for example, if we want to apply a linear filter to this image, then it's linear, and we could represent it as a matrix, since linear operations on a vector space are matrices essentially. So we could write down a rectangle of numbers and do a matrix vector multiplication to apply our linear filter to, for example, a scan of my brain. We get out y, and this is maybe this result. The problem is that for a 20 megapixel image, this matrix would use 400 terabytes of RAM. Well, how do we get around with it? Well, in practice, we only implement the action of M on a vector. We don't build up the whole matrix. We write a dedicated algorithm that does this filtering. But what is not so cool is that we kind of lose the concept of a matrix that we are dealing with in linear algebra. In our paper, we are writing this, but what we're actually doing is something completely different. And this is something we kind of wanted to overcome. And the only reason why this is possible to write a dedicated algorithm without the whole matrix is because this matrix is structured. It has a very rigid structure. It's a linear filter of a certain kind. So, some examples for structured matrices. Fourier matrices. You all know, or most of you know, that Fourier matrices are never built up explicitly. We just do an FFT and then we get the linear operation on a vector. Circulant matrices kind of realize a circular convolution of two vectors. It's also linear, so there is a matrix representing this linear mapping. We can decompose it in that way. And we see that all we need there is also an FFT. Yeah, circulant matrix here, that's an example. So we don't really build up a matrix, but we would like to kind of retain it in our mind. Yeah, and we kind of want to bring this together. Another example is a Kronecker product. It often occurs when you're dealing with multidimensional data. And you have two matrices, and if you do the Kronecker product of them, then the whole thing just explodes when it comes to dimensions. But what you know is that these two matrices build up the Kronecker product. So what you could do is, instead of building up the product, you just remember that this is the Kronecker product of these two matrices. And the take-home message here is basically that structure reduces the degrees of freedom in a linear transformation. And this is something we exploit, for example, in the FFT. Well, so let's talk about structure. What can we gain from it? Well, we can get fast multiplication as in the Fourier transform case. So we have a fast way of multiplying a Fourier matrix with a vector. We can also store these matrices very efficiently. For a Fourier matrix, we don't need anything at all except the dimension of the vector it acts on. The rest is totally clear. We can also compose matrices together, for example, as we saw in the Kronecker product, where we compose two matrices in a Kronecker product, and that's not something we should throw away information-wise, because there is a NumPy function that does a Kronecker product of two matrices, but then we would kind of lose the original information from which this Kronecker product was built off. Well, you can use mathematical properties for some structured matrices. We know, spectrum, inverse, stuff like that. And we can also apply algebraic rules because we know how matrices are built up, and we can kind of fiddle around how we would do on paper on a computer. And this is why we came up with the package FastMut, which tries to do exactly this. Maybe a little bit more hands-on example is an example from non-destructive testing with ultrasound. There is an algorithm called SAFT, Synthetic Aperture Focusing Technique. And what you essentially do there, you have a large matrix, and you multiply it with a vector, and this is the SAFT algorithm. The thing here is, this matrix is really, really large, has a lot of zeros, and the S matrices themselves are sparse, but they are also aligned in a structured way. And in FastMAT, you can write something like this, which represents this formula here, though these two representations are basically equal. Without getting into further detail, you can build up this whole matrix with this little bit of code. And what you get from this is this here. The first idea you could have is that you build up the whole matrix as a SciPy sparse matrix. Then you use 1.7 gigabytes of RAM. But if you do the short lines I just showed you, you only need 1 megabyte of RAM to store the whole matrix and to represent it on your computer. If you put a little bit more effort in, you save even more memory, but this one here is the coolest thing. So, without further ado, let's get to the package, and that's what Christoph is going to talk about.
Thanks, Sebastian. Hi from me. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we actually implemented the whole thing, that you can put all your tasks that you have at hand into your code and have all the degrees of freedom that you might need. So first of all, there are lots of different matrices, and we thought about it, well, a metric has some general ideas or general concepts like forward transforms that actually multiply a vector to it, or you have a spectrum of a matrix or one element axis, and all of these are implemented in the center like a celestial class that has all the general abilities of a matrix and that lends it to all its ancestors, and all of those have very specific fast algorithms that can exploit the structure or store it efficiently, and thus you gain performance for a more detailed matrix on its own. And you have all the degrees of freedom to actually plug those matrices together. Let's see, for example, the Kronecker product can work with all the other types of matrices. You can also stack them together like you need in your application, and thus you could also easily perform tensor algebra with multiple dimensions with no extra effort in the code-wise. The interface as well is basically designed on NumPy, but should work with other types of interfaces as well that rely on an array structure. You basically pass the vectors that you want to multiply the matrix with and be done and get the same back. The class cores themselves are written in Python to get optimal performance. And we currently offer 7 data types as the usual float and complex for single and double precision, but also a small integer type, which you could use to basically put large matrices where memory is a factor and you don't need the actual dynamic range. As a little minimal working example, on the right-hand side, you see some very short code that produces a Hadamard matrix of size of order 26, which is basically as large as you could not even put it into a computation cluster university or something like that. It's basically that huge, but as you don't store it actually in memory, but just remember what the structure was, it's a no-brainer. Even fits in your cache on a CPU. So yesterday it was stressed already that testing is a very essential part of any project. Also, knowing where the limits of your algorithms or of your simulations is very important, that you don't do any errors that you might accumulate during your simulations. So that's why we thought about heavily, how do we actually get the code to be checked? If you want to cascade everything together, it must also work together. So we thought about how do we test it and came up with basically throwing energy at it and building a huge load of different tests. We test every matrix combination function-wise and trying to verify the code that way. And if you find an error, I think that's the most important strategy. We first add a test before we fix it. That ensures that we never see it again, basically. It basically works out very good at the moment. Also, we have another side utility incorporated, which does benchmark and profiling, because sometimes you have different strategies to get or to tackle an algebraic problem, and you can implement it in many ways, some more beneficial than others. Then you could basically just describe your matrix, run a benchmark on it, see how much memory does it use, how fast is it, and the best thing, it's on your machine then, and as well the documentation, which is the stuff that documents what we did there, but also shows those benefit, those benchmark plots based on the data that was generated by your machine. Also, a very recent idea we came up with is sometimes you have algorithms that have an overhead you have to overcome first, and it just starts to get better at a larger problem size. This could be calibrated by just measuring when is it actually better to do a regular dot product and then just start the fast algorithm afterwards. Also want to mention the demo, so we have some in the package to play with and just to see how to actually work with it. And concerning yesterday, so we have just inserted this little slide to just show you testing every class that we have in different manners. And in total, it really blows up. Maybe we just need a tenth of it, but better safe than sorry, and test a little bit more. But just to not hang on any small errors that might just be introduced by working on it. So the most important question about this is, what do we actually gain from it? And I think it's quite a lot. So if you do a dot product with a regular dense matrix in terms of the Hadamard, so this is the order of the size squared, so n by n, and this is the runtime of one forward transform. And as we don't store any information, we basically just run the algorithm and be done, and this is faster than anything that is memory related. When we go to a little bit more expensive operation, like we introduced before one of the slides, we see that we get basically see some overhead, but again, up from the specific size, we basically gain speed-wise. And this is when it comes to play that it's getting better. Remember calibration, that's basically the area between those two that we can tackle when the package is calibrated itself. But why should I also consider running this type of structural description with a low problem size? Because basically memory could also be an issue. You could also run faster if you have many vectors when all the matrix information stays in your local CPU caches, and thus speeding it up when you have multiple data sets to actually compute. And just to wrap it up, what would be cool? I hope I could trigger some interest in the actual package. If you try it out and find some bugs or some ideas or what would be cool, please give us some feedback. We also have a little homepage where we regularly put new stuff online. And this regularly new stuff that we're talking about, so in future we also want to put fast matrix inversions inside for structure types. Also more algorithms that actually use those descriptions to do like sparse signal recovery or other stuff. Then the aforementioned algorithmic error estimation. And also sometimes you just see that when you apply some of those algorithms, these tend to do some stuff that you actually don't need, algebraic term optimization, that you can basically be as minimal as possible. That would be the conclusion of the talk. Thank you very much, and we're happy to answer your questions now.
Can the next speaker come down and start getting set up? And
thank you again for your talk. And one question, did you try to apply your library to quantum systems? We have a big explosion of dimensionality or quantum algorithms. Do you think that's feasible to simulate those?
I'm not sure if I get you wrong. I've read a paper about quantum systems where everything gets really, really large and they do some kind of sparse recovery, I think. And it's totally on our to-do list. We already have an issue for that, but yeah, getting the release ready, we didn't have time yet. But yeah.
Okay.
Is there any problem with just dropping in FastMat for doing everything with matrix operations, or is there a lot of overhead involved if I would just use FastMat for everything instead of, I don't know, NumPy directly, if there is no structure to actually use?
So if you have no structure implemented in a matrix at all, that basically runs down to a regular dot product, and you probably would just see some overhead from the classes themselves. But as soon as you see some structure, or that you just use some columns and algorithms, then you can basically get off with some of the advantages from the mathematical properties. But it's, as you said, it's not intended for as a tool for every kind of situation, but for those where you really have some structure and that you need to get it right and boil down your development time for massive algorithms, stuff.